number one this week, Parker McCollum on WRCO. Fill me, hoping all your trails are happy until we talk again later on WRCO FM, Richland Center, Wisconsin. We put the wraps on our morning session and make way for some community conversation on the morning show next, following the news update sponsored by Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service, continuing the long tradition of caring service to area families. And the Phoenix Center, family fun at its best. There's always something for everyone, including bowling, legendary pizza, and video games.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. The head of the FBI is pushing Congress for a vote soon on reauthorizing FISA, the law that lets spy agencies listen in on communications of foreign nationals without obtaining a warrant. Here's ABC's Christiane Cordero.
Congressional leaders say they're hopeful they can pass a bill reauthorizing a U.S. spy program known as FISA after a late-night agreement. 19 Republicans previously voted to block the reauthorization of FISA, concerned it goes too far and can jeopardize the privacy of Americans. One change now being made, potentially reauthorizing FISA for 2 years instead of five.
After the expected House vote today, House Speaker Mike Johnson will head to Mar-a-Lago to hold what he says will be a news conference alongside former President Donald Trump. Vice President Kamala Harris is headed to Arizona following this week's state Supreme Court decision upholding an 1864 law that bans all abortions except to save the life of the mother. Nearly 400 severe storm reports this week from the south into the Great Lakes and Northeast. This is ABC News. One of the biggest power plants in Ukraine, not far from Kyiv, taken out in another Russian missile attack. A new home for only parts left of a statue of baseball legend Jackie Robinson, stolen by metal scrappers. ABC's Jim Ryan with the story.
The bronze shoes were all that was left after would-be metal scrappers took the Jackie Robinson statue. Now those shoes have been moved from Wichita to Kansas City.
They will be part of a miniature Jackie Robinson shrine of things that his name and likeness have been targets against.
Bob Kendrick is president of the Negro Leagues Baseball Museum in Kansas City.
Hopefully it will serve as something that will unify us.
The suspect in the original theft is still in jail on a long list of charges related and unrelated to the statue. Jim Ryan, ABC News.
Ford is now under investigation for recalling covering tens of thousands of Broncos. The National Highway Traffic Safety Administration says the proposed fix for a problem with fuel injectors doesn't actually fix the problem at all. Sherry Preston, ABC News.
The best place to catch a Friday night fish dinner is the Phoenix Center. Dine in or carry out delicious deep fried or baked fish. The Phoenix Center serves food and fun every day. The pizza is out of this world. And after a great meal, make it an even better night with a game of bowling. The Phoenix Center is family fun at its best. Open at 10 Monday through Sunday. The Phoenix Center, the area's go-to spot for good times and great food.
There will never be a time when we don't encourage pre-planning. This is Mark Jelenic of the Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service. Our staff has years of experience getting to know families and incorporating their loved ones' hobbies, activities, interests, and unique requests into meaningful and memorable services. Don't ever hesitate to make a request because you think it might be too out there. We are honored to work with you to create a service that truly reflects and celebrates your loved one's individual life journey at the Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service.
Today's forecast calls for a high in the upper 50s, 34 tonight. It's going to be a little chilly and then warm for the rest of the weekend. 70 Saturday and 73 Sunday, low 70s for Monday. In Richland Center, southwest winds are at 5 to 8 miles per hour, and it is 52 degrees.
Wiscode is a local, family-oriented company based in Lone Rock, Wisconsin, ready to serve your family or business with the service that defines the Wiscode mission, where quality and honesty meet. Wiscode is a one-stop solution for driveways long or short and parking lots large or small. Estimates are always free. Now is the time to call 1-800-BLACKTOP. That's 1-800-BLACKTOP. Wiscode cares as much about your asphalt and everything around it as you do. 1-800-BLACKTOP. It's the right call right now.
Dunkin' Reward members can look forward to the fresh offers in the new year, including a $2 medium hot or iced coffee, limit one per member per day. Triple points when boosted members place an order through the mobile app on Wednesdays, and 100 bonus points for all members who place an order through the mobile app on Mondays. Those who aren't Dunkin' Rewards members can sign up for free on the Dunkin' app or by visiting DunkinRewards.com. Get a free medium beverage with your first purchase, so quick sign up and start earning free Dunkin' today. And remember, Richland Center runs on Dunkin'.
Central Boarding House Antiques. This historic boarding house, located at 339 West Seminary Street, is over 130 years old and has 17 unique rooms with a large variety of antiques for sale. Central Boarding House Antiques is open Tuesday through Friday, 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. and Saturday, 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. Make plans to visit Central Boarding House Antiques, located across from Quick Trip in downtown Richland Center. Call 647-7358 or visit their Facebook page today.
At Julie Karen State Farm, we're passionate about helping neighbors at all stages of life. The new driver, the new parent, the home buyer, the cycle riders, to the captains of boats. From your first job to the retiring couple ready to enjoy their golden years, important milestones and life's unexpected events, we choose to care for the people with the need, not just the risks and needs. Our goal is to take the confusion out of finding the right coverage. Stop by our office in Richland Center. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
WRCO Studios, proudly sponsored by the Richland Family Restaurant. Your community, your music, your favorite dining spot.
Today in the first part of the morning show, we're here to talk about a special fundraiser coming up and a great organization in the area. And we're going to talk about Kiwanis, first of all. We're also going to talk about Kinship. The two go hand in hand. And I have in the studio today, I was trying to think of the number of appearances on the morning show for all of these fine folks. Michelle Nolan-Karras, Peggy Olive is here, Kathy Cooper, and Steve Kolstad. You might have the record for a number of times on the show. I'm not sure, Steve.
I don't think they give anything for that, Phil. No trophy, nothing like that. But maybe you've got that, in your records someplace, that type of thing. But thanks for having us on today. And the reason that we're on is we're having a spaghetti supper. It's a fundraiser that the Kiwanis Club is putting on Monday, and that's April 15th. It starts at 4:30 in the afternoon, goes to 7 o'clock. It's going to be at the Phoenix Center, and it's a goodwill offering. But the reason we're doing this is we're doing it for Kinship, another really great organization in our community that does a lot of great stuff for families and kids in our particular community. And we've been doing this for a number of years, this designated spaghetti supper, for a number of reasons. First of all, recognizing some really great work that's being done in our community. But also, they have the same type of mission that the Kiwanis Club has, which is serving the families and youth in our particular community. So I think it's really appropriate that we talk about those type of things today and just encourage people to come out and enjoy a meal. It's a goodwill offering. So here's your opportunity to throw a few bucks in the kitty and just feed as many people as you want and socialize to your heart's desire, that type of thing, and really build some community.
Your mission is very similar to the Kinship mission, isn't it?
It is. It is. And, you know, I can let Kathy talk about that. She is the president. I'm just kind of the mouthpiece, you know, that type of thing. I'm one of those shy individuals that doesn't speak too well, that type of thing. But she is the president.
Indeed. Kathy, let's talk about the mission of this.
The mission of the Kiwanis is serving the children of the world. And so we, that's kind of what drew me into Kiwanis a number of years ago. And there's most of the projects we do deal with helping with kids. We have the backpack project we have where the coats, mm-hmm. help kids get coats for the winter, those sorts of things. And all our fundraisers just mostly go for those projects and some other little ones along the way. But those are our two main projects. And it's because we want to help kids. You know, there's a lot of, you know, some families don't have what they need. And if we can help kids get a start, keep warm during the winter, go to school with a backpack full of supplies, and they feel like every other kid, that's what we want.
You had overwhelming response last year, didn't you?
Yes, yes. We had, I don't know how many backpacks we filled.
Actually, we filled about 150 backpacks. We served 75 different families. And then we actually gave out 130 coats this winter. So, you know, the need for coats and backpacks, and we can talk about youth baseball, softball. We can talk about some of the science projects for kids that we fund, that type of thing. But again, comes back to our families, our kids in the community. How do we best serve them? Now, we can't actually fund everything because we're a really small club and always looking for some other people to step up and saying, God, we'd like to do that with you. But on the other hand, we try and do the best we can.
You're the president, Kathy. You'd always like to see more membership, I'm sure, wouldn't you?
Oh, definitely. Actually, my son was in Key Club as a student. Now he is a member of our club. So, and hopefully I'll get my daughter to join and, you know, because just, I think it's good for people to get involved, and it can be a little involvement. It could be helping, you know, help us at the fundraiser. You know, you help clean off tables or serve or help people take food back to their, you know, their where they're sitting. Or it could be, hey, we're at the fairgrounds, you know, we're doing the concessions for the rodeo or for the fair, and hey, I can come and work a couple hours, and you know, it doesn't have to be a big commitment. It can be just, you know, a couple hours here and there. Would everything helps.
You have fundraisers through the year as well, but this is one of the first ones, isn't it?
Yes, and this one we designate to a group or somebody that needs help for the kids. I think our first one was we had the fundraiser for two boys in the community, families of the two boys in the community that had major health issues that came up that were, you know, Ben Hipsch and Gavin Gokenauer that had some really, last year it was the Union. We helped them to help them get started. And this year Kinship came to us and we said, this is a really good chance to help kids too, mm-hmm. without, you know.
So you've tied into other organizations, and I know the Union, they're kind of off and running with some big deals in the community, aren't
yes,
they?
And I think it's good.
Mm-hmm. Very much. Well, let's let Kinship speak a little bit. How about that? We turn it over to the other side of the room. Michelle Nolan-Karras and Peggy Olive are here. Michelle, let's talk a little bit again about the mission of Kinship for people that may not know.
Well, I always compare Kinship to Big Brothers Big Sisters, because that's really what it's like. We match up caring adult volunteers with kids in the community who need a little extra attention. And there really aren't many guidelines. The kids have to live in Richland County, be between the ages of 5 and 17, and that's about it. There's no income guidelines, nothing. It's just that kids tend to do better if they have a grown-up who's interested in them just for no reason. The volunteers don't get paid. They're not babysitters. They are friends, potential friends, and it often works out that way. It's really exciting. We've been around for about 35 years, and we're very small also. At our peak, we had about 30 matches, but after COVID, really cut into things, we'll have about 10 now in the next few months. So it's still significant for those 10 kids and their mentors. It means a lot.
How do youth get involved? How do you become aware of them for Kinship? Is it a referral from teachers or from area community organizations, or how does that work?
It can be any of those things. Sometimes it's churches, sometimes it's social services, teachers, parents, grandparents, whoever cares about kids. And the volunteers, it's the same thing. They don't have to live in Richland County, but they have to have, our goal is to spend an hour a week at least for a year. And so they have to have a little extra time. And not everybody has that. So it's a big commitment.
Peggy, why are you involved in the organization?
I am back on the Kinship board as of this year, and I was on the Kinship board when I worked at the Richland County UW Extension office back at the turn of the century. this latest century, just to be clear, not the last century.
You make it seem like so long ago.
late 1900s. So I'm delighted. I recently retired. I'm back, delighted to be back on the board, and tried to kind of jump right in to support the organization where I can.
Indeed. And so you've been able to help out a little bit. Do you have a position with the Kinship board then?
No, I've been ducking low. So I've been to one kinship board meeting. So we have a great slate of officers right now. And it's been terrific to meet. We have several of the kinship mentors on the board. There's one previous mentee. So a child who was mentored who, you know, is now in her 20s and back on the board. That's just terrific to see the impact. And it was really interesting rejoining the board because getting to know some of the mentors I knew back in, you know, the early 2000s. They've kept in touch with the kids that they've mentored. Several of them are out in the workforce. Some have gone to college, and they're still, you know, keep in touch and aren't close. And just watching the impact that these individuals have had on the kids' lives is just tremendous.
Is that rewarding to have someone who was mentored and all of a sudden, you know, life goes full circle and they're on the board?
Yeah, absolutely. I am not a mentor myself. I watch these mentors. I don't quite have as much energy as they have. You know, they're out there going to the kinship bowling party and the kinship roller skating party, but it's just terrific seeing how the kids are interacting with mentors almost like another grandparent. And we know families are so spread out these days, they may not have extended family members or grandparents or aunts or uncles, so it really helps to provide that extra support.
Yeah, Michelle, certainly if somebody wants to mentor, you know, maybe it's just a day a week or a month, or what's the commitment like?
Well, as I told you, we shoot for like an hour a week for a year, but a lot of the mentors live quite a distance from the kids. And so it's up to the mentor and the families to make the schedule. Some of them meet like for a couple hours every other week or once a month, whatever works for them. They're kind of on their own. There's, not a lot of oversight in, you know, regards to anything except screening the mentors and kind of making sure things are going okay.
So, if you're thinking about mentoring, you know, do you have to have a certain area of expertise, or is it just spending some time with them?
Yep. It's just spending time and caring about the children. That's really, really all we ask. And that you have to pass the background check and have some references and go through an interview, but then you're good to go.
This day and age, certainly, it may not be anything as far as a troubled home. It could just be, I mean, people are busy, you know, parents work on the road and things like that. You probably see that too, don't you?
It's true. We're historically, we've had sort of an emphasis on single parent families, but that is no longer true. And we have, it's more casual now, I'd say. And I think it's a little easier for the mentors and more rewarding, because sometimes things got a little hairy, and we're not professionals. We're just volunteers.
Okay. So. Peggy, what are some of the benefits that you can see for area youth that are involved in this?
As Michelle was saying earlier, it's just a terrific opportunity for the area youth to know that there are other caring adults in the community, adults who are choosing to spend their time with that child and giving some undivided attention. And it's also nice. So many of the mentors really like to foster what the kids are interested in. I know sometimes if they have a young girl or even a boy, they might be interested in baking and making cookies, or else learning how to fish or learning how to garden or doing other activities that, you know, a mentor might be doing anyway. And now they're teaching kind of that next generation, a younger generation, to have a new hobby and a new interest. And I've seen, unfortunately, over the past decades, where a few kids were not quite ready for mentoring. You know, they just were not interested. And I'm sad to say, because we have such a small community, seeing those kids, you know, maybe ran into some trouble down the road. So I can just see firsthand the difference that having another adult to check in can make for some of these kids.
Less likely to get involved in some bad stuff, as you mentioned.
Oh, yes. Yeah, wow. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. As you look at the benefits for mentors, Michelle, any idea, you know, from that standpoint, what the mentors get out of it?
Well, excuse me, I think it's mutually beneficial. The mentors, I'll be honest, most of them are retired, but they do have the energy, and they do have the commitment and, you know, the time. And it's very rewarding. In fact, this is Volunteer Month. And Peggy had this wonderful idea about how our volunteers could attend the spaghetti supper with with their mentees. And so it's not just, you know, a benefit for fundraising. It's also a benefit for, we do these group activities. And it's a really cool thing to do and sort of have other kids and grown-ups see what we're doing. So,
yeah, I could see that being a great benefit, just taking the student along with you in just normal family activities, right?
Exactly. Yep.
Do you do anything else during the year in terms of fundraising, or do you tie in with any other groups?
Yes, we do.
Yeah, we do have a few fundraisers on our calendar after Monday's spaghetti supper. For example, we have the annual Brat Barn sale. That's Saturday, May 18th. So we do the Brat Barn.
At Walsh's.
At Walsh's. Okay. It's also Armed Forces Day, so if you want to honor a veteran in your life, come on out, buy him a brat. And then we also do the traditional Culver's family night. That's Wednesday, September 4th from 4 to 8, so where the proceeds will be going to Kinship, if people come on and eat at Culver's that night. So it's also a chance for mentors to go out, you know, and help out at a fundraising activity and share a meal with their child, too.
Are there some areas people can go to, social media sites and things like that, where they can find out more, Michelle?
Yes, we do have a Facebook page, and actually I'm not very good at it. So a couple of the mentors are good at it, and they're helping me, and it's really nice. So you can actually see pictures now. So that's one option. Otherwise, our webpage is kind of prehistoric, but we have a... Do you want our contact information?
Absolutely. Somebody just old-fashioned pick up the phone and call you?
Yes, that's what I was going to get at. Okay, so our voicemail is 608-475-2886, and we'll get right back to you. Otherwise, you can contact us by email at kinshiprc@gmail.com, and we'll get right back to you. I check that every day, so...
Great. So good to have you in. And it's a good tie-in with everything that Kiwanis does and stands for, Steve.
Yeah, it is. It's a great tie-in. I mean, we're all volunteers, too. And you're right. April is volunteer month. I think there's some reason we picked that particular month to have this, you know, continually. But having said that, if you're interested in learning more about kinship, you know, come out to the spaghetti supper on Monday night. Enjoy a meal, goodwill offering, ask some questions, meet some people who are doing it. I have relatives who have been mentors before. They had a great experience with it until their schedules, as people imply, get so busy with their own kids, it's tough. But there's always opportunities in this community to help kids out, and mentoring is a great opportunity. So this Monday night at the Phoenix Center from 4:30 until 7 for a goodwill offering, you can get spaghetti and all kinds of information and support a really great organization. The Kiwanis Club will sponsor it, but they'll have people who are members, who are kinship members, who are helping us out, serving. We'll also have carryouts. If you want a carryout, just call the Phoenix Center and we'll rush them out to the car. You can come up and just pick it up. But again, a goodwill offering, and it's goodwill in the community.
Indeed. And do you need any volunteers on Monday night, Kathy?
We can always use volunteers. You know, we're a small club. I think we're between less than 20 that does it all, and we're busy too, and sometimes, you know, people can come, and so we take any help. We get a lot of help from Key Club and Boy Scouts, because we help sponsor the Boy Scouts too. And so, you know, if you want to come and volunteer and learn about kinship, learn about Kiwanis, maybe there's one of them you're more interested in the other, you may want to join and help out, and both organizations would be willing to have people volunteer, members.
You mentioned Key Club, Kathy, too. You know, that's still an active thing in our area high schools as well, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, Richland Center has a very active Key Club. They get involved in, and they do things with kids, too. I mean, I don't know if they still do, but they used to do some activities with some kids at some of the schools and the younger kids, and maybe some of them that would have been part of kinship, too. So...
You just got to do some tail twisting and get them to, you know, be involved in your Kiwanis Club too.
Yep.
Yeah. So, yep. Like you mentioned your kids are too, right?
My son is. My daughter helps out, but she hasn't joined yet, but my son is a member.
Sure. Good deal. Anything else you would like to add over on this side of the room about kinship, Michelle?
I just want to thank the Kiwanis Club for having this idea. I think it's wonderful, and it's good to have exposure. And I just want to thank all our volunteers and including the radio station, because you've been so supportive. So
good deal. Peggy, anything you'd like to add?
Yeah, exactly what Michelle said. And I just wanted to let people know that all the proceeds for the kinship, we use them to sponsor different events. Like this winter already, there has been a roller skating party for the mentors and mentees. They've had a bowling party. Michelle is very, very part-time paid director. She does, you know, way above and beyond and more volunteer time. So that's where we get our money and the proceeds that help go and support the different organizations. And they'll have a picnics and kayaking this summer. So come on out, have some spaghetti, and help support two great organizations.
You both are proud to be involved in this, I can tell. And the youth are our future, aren't they?
It's true.
Yep, very much. Thanks for coming in today. We appreciate that.
Thanks for having us.
And all you do. And Steve, we just want to make sure people are aware. Again, it's at the Phoenix Center, so people know where to go on Monday night, right?
Correct. Yep. We're looking for a nice turnout. And again, above the expense that we pay to the Phoenix Center for having the spaghetti supper, all the proceeds are going to go to kinship. So come out, be generous, share a meal with somebody else, and learn a little more about your community.
Well, both of you have information tables there on Monday night, too, as well?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yep.
People can learn about more. Steve, well, you can just talk to Steve.
Yeah.
He's the information table.
<Yeah.
laughs> He's pointing fingers all around. He's delegating right now. Thanks for coming in here. Kathy, anything else you'd like to add?
No, not really. I guess if you're interested in I helping out or becoming a member of one of these good organizations, both missions are helping the kids, and we can always use more. Both organizations could be more volunteers.
Indeed. That's what it's all about. Kathy Cooper, president of Kiwanis, Steve Kolstad, and earlier Peggy Olive and Michelle Nolan Karras as well here on our morning show. We'll talk a little bit about some upcoming events going on with the area and Mark Coupleby here, Driftless area, and we'll talk about the Wisconsin Riverway Board as well next.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Family Prescription Center, where your family always comes first.
The Richland Family Prescription Center's primary function is to fill your prescription accurately and to provide added value services to enhance your health. Filling your prescription is only the first step. Understanding your medication and the importance of compliance will greatly benefit your medication outcome. Whether it's a first-time visit or they've seen you before, the Prescription Center's friendly and knowledgeable staff is dedicated to providing you with a quality pharmacy experience, and they have built their reputation by going the extra mile to ensure your satisfaction. The Richland Family Prescription Center, your one-stop source for all of your prescription and healthcare needs. Your complete customer satisfaction is their top priority.
Family Prescription Center, where your family always comes first.
Hello, WRCO listeners. This is Kenny, the wannabe baker. Hey, Hank, have you tried one of Kirstie's breakfast entrees?
Did you make them?
No, of course not. My role is still very limited. But Kirstie and her team do offer several very tasty breakfast options. Quiche, sandwiches, and breakfast treats, along with great coffee and other beverages to entice your palate. Kirstie's Sunnyside Bakery and Cafe, where every day is sunny.
Hi, Travis with Wirtz Floor and Home. Want to improve your sleep quality? Maybe a mattress with a built-in cooling cover is just what you need from American Bedding that is made right here in Wisconsin. Stop down to our newly remodeled showroom and see why we have quickly become Spring Green's largest mattress dealer. With over a dozen mattresses on display, our expert staff will assist you in finding the perfect mattress to give you a quality night's sleep. Located on Highway 14 next to the Ring Brothers.
When I say Utter Brothers Creamery in Boscobel, most people think about their ice cream, but it's so much more. You can pick up some pasture-raised, never-given antibiotic and GMO-free beef. Or you can pick up some milk, butter, and cheese. You can find honey, coffee, jams, maple syrup, krauts, and of course you can let them do the cooking. Check out their wonderful menu of delectable items at Utter Brothers Creamery and Restaurant in Boscobel.
The right trait technology on the right acre matters when it comes to crop performance. In this CAB conversation, Wisconsin farmer William Hoffman says the above and below ground insect protection is why he's planting DeKalb VT4 Pro trait technology following soybeans.
In the last couple of years, seen some pressure and thought I needed to try something different, and the rootworm technology seemed to work considerably better.
He says there's a reason he chooses new products like DeKalb VT4 Pro for his farm.
I'm really buying two things. I'm buying hybrid, you know, that I believe is high yielding and has a lot of potential. And I'm buying the trait package as an insurance policy to make sure that I can utilize, you know, all of the potential that hybrid has.
To learn more, visit DeKalb.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices. 2024 Bear Group, all rights reserved.
The Lower Wisconsin State Riverway Board celebrating 35 years this year, which is unbelievable. And we're going to talk a little bit about that next here on the morning show. They have several events going on in celebration, including the first field trip, which is happening on Saturday. So in the studio today, we have Executive Director Mark Kupp. We have Gigi Labutti, who is the chair of the Riverway Board. Also, Mike Deegan of the Frank Lloyd Foundation is in here. Barb Barzin is going to give us a call, I think, a little bit later on in the program. But Mark, you're the ringleader. We'll start with you today. Good morning.
Good morning, Phil. It feels like spring out there today.
Yes, it does. Right. Does it get you motivated for doing some great things in the great outdoors?
It does, right. After I'm done here today, I'm taking a few hours of personal time, and there's a little first grader from Riverdale named Owen. We're going to build a fort and then maybe go for a bike ride today. So I'm looking forward to that.
That'll be a good thing. Does it seem like 35 years?
Gosh, you know, when I was hired by the Riverway Board, I had been working at the Capitol, and I competed for the job. And I said, well, I agree to give you a 2 to 3 year commitment. And now 35 years later, here we are. So it does. The time has gone by so quickly. And I've just been blessed to have this opportunity to work on the Lower Wisconsin River, a unique and innovative project, and to see it come this far after 3.5 decades, and we're still going strong. There are still new challenges and opportunities, and we're going to celebrate all the successes that we've had and then look to the future as well.
As you decided on some things to celebrate this year and ways to do it, Mark, how did you determine what you were going to do and highlight things?
Well, it really came to the fact that, look at this new opportunity, the Driftless Trail that Driftless Area Land Conservancy is working on, and then right there in the riverway, the Phoebe Point Trail that Michael talked about is just opened, and the Welsh Hills Trail that has been there on the grounds of Taliesin, and that, again, showcases the beautiful view of the Lower Wisconsin River at right near Spring Green. So we thought, this is a great place to start. And Gigi Labutti is very familiar with that area, and that's kind of in her backyard as a Spring Green area resident. So we thought, let's kick that off in April. We might get a chance to see some of the new vegetation coming up. So we thought this would be a good inaugural field trip for the Year of the Riverway events. And we'll start with this trip. We will have another trip in May. That'll be at Prairie du Sac. We'll focus on the Battle of Wisconsin Heights from the Black Hawk War. We then have our Voyager replica canoe trips that'll start in June and go into July, and we'll continue all the way through October, when we'll have our big celebration at Wisconsin Riverside Resort on Sunday, October 27th, with guest speakers and honored guests, and really focus on our partners, which are the private landowners up and down the river, and all of those people who have contributed to the success of the project over the last 35 years.
GG, I think you're going to hit a home run with weather for your first event tomorrow, aren't you?
Yes, and I was out in the woods this morning with our puppy, and noticed that the ramps are up, the spring beauty is blooming, the trout lily is poking up, everything's happening. So I'm looking forward to Saturday, because we are going to see lots of different things coming up. I'm happy to be here, and I am really honored to serve on the Lower Wisconsin State Riverway Board. I moved to the area in the late 70s, and I didn't know what the term driftless meant. Not many people did, and now it's driftless wine, driftless plumbing, driftless everything. But all I knew when I took a job here in at River Valley High School as a counselor was this was an amazing area, because I could be along the river mucking around looking at frogs and the cattails, and then step up on the bank and there would be prickly pear cactus and lead plant and a whole host of xeric dry prairie plants. So I've been smitten with this area, and my predecessor on the board, Don Greenwood, was wonderful in sharing treasures with me along the river. And so for my 50th birthday, I gave myself a kayak, and that changed my life, because I really like puddling around in the backwaters. I'd canoed on the river, but I love the access that kayak gives me. And so serving on the board has been an honor. Mark is a exemplary person to work with, because I realize the spirit of the board is to work cooperatively with landowners. And by and large, landowners want to do everything they can to enhance this unique, the diverse natural communities, the natural beauty. And they're happy to put in windows that don't reflect or whatever in their building. So it's been a pleasure doing all kinds of site visits and meeting lots of people, and seeing how Mark is able to take the lead of people cooperating and sharing ideas. So I'm enjoying it.
Good. We live around here, and sometimes, sadly, we kind of take for granted all of the beauty around us. But having moved to the area, were you surprised to learn about some of the things along
yes,
the riverway?
Because I'm a Wisconsin native, but eastern part of the state, and my wild Wisconsin experience was always up north. So coming to this area and having right along the riverway, we have the bottomlands and sort of boggy swampies and oak savanna prairie, and probably my favorite time of year is February, March, when there's not a huge snowpack, but just exploring, looking at signs of beaver and weasel and different birds as they come back, and the whole world of fungus and mushrooms and
yeah, so it's been a good year for that. That's for sure. Yeah. Looking at all those things. Let's turn it over to Mike as well from the Frank Lloyd Foundation. As you look at this year, Mike, certainly you're excited that you get to be spotlighted for the first thing here and the very, very first feature of the 35th anniversary year, don't you?
Yeah, you bet, Phil. We're really excited to invite this group to Taliesin. It's been a pleasure working with the Riverway and working on the landscape as we have to enhance our relationship with the river. We have nearly a half a mile of river frontage at the Taliesin property there. It's an 800-acre property, and we have just about every kind of landscape that the Wisconsin Riverway has. We have the bluffland prairies and the oak and hickory woods. We've got lowland prairies and all the way down to the wetlands and the riverway. So it's a beautiful property to be able to work on. My part of the story goes back 25 years when my wife Meg and I moved to an old farmstead just up the road from Taliesin, and we made friends with the folks that were in charge of the restoration and preservation of the buildings there at Taliesin. And we explored the landscapes, and I learned more about the legacy of Frank Lloyd Wright. And I was working for the Department of Natural Resources at the time, and after we got to be friends, we started exploring the possibility of what if, when I retired from the Department of Natural Resources, I might join their team to help the Frank Lloyd Wright Foundation achieve some of their ecological restoration goals on that beautiful 800-acre piece of property. So the day came 13 years ago when I retired from the department, and I essentially walked out of DNR and into Taliesin, and the rest is history. We've together as a team, we've been able to restore three south-facing dry prairies on our bluff lands in the Welsh Hills. These are characteristic prairies of the Driftless area. And we've also began clearing two prairies over in the Phoebe Point unit. So the Welsh Hills, when we started all this work, we established two goals for ourselves. We wanted to do ecological restoration of the landscape, but then we wanted to create opportunities for the public to come out on those landscapes and enjoy the areas that actually inspired Wright as a child and then as an adult. And it really influenced his architecture. So to be able to get people out on the landscape now and enjoy the same places that Wright enjoyed as a child and as an adult that inspired his work and the work of those that followed Wright is really exciting for us. So we're looking forward to tomorrow and sharing these beautiful trails that so many people have helped us accomplish. In our restoration work, we worked with the Department of Natural Resources and the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. They were able to provide funds for us that helped us accomplish our goals. We teamed up with the Ice Age Trail Alliance on establishing our first trail that we call the Welsh Hills Trail, which is actually, I think, one of the first opportunities that we were able to create that brought people to Taliesin that they could enjoy on their own away from the buildings. Because there's so much more to Taliesin than just the buildings, right? And from my perspective, being able to work on these landscapes, it's really exciting because these are the landscapes that inspired Frank Lloyd Wright. And now we have the opportunity to bring people to these places and have them experience another perspective of Taliesin that they can't have any other way.
Tell me about Phoebe Point. That's part of the tour tomorrow, isn't it?
Yeah, it certainly is. Yes, Phoebe Point is one of my favorite places. And I've been there 1,000 times, and I still get goosebumps and tears in my eyes when I get up there. It just feels like a really spiritual place. It's not a big land unit. It's about a 40-acre unit. But it's one of the areas that when we first started hanging out with our friends at Taliesin that we would run around, and we had trails there. We could snowshoe or cross-country ski or just hike. But we would go to Phoebe Point, and it was a really nice place. But at the time, it was covered in cedar trees like so many of these dry prairies are when they lack management. And we could tell that there was a prairie under those cedar trees because there were some remnant species there, the asters and the pecoons and what have you. So we targeted Phoebe Point as a restoration site after we got done with the three prairies over in the Welsh Hills. And when we removed those cedar trees, it opened up a view that is just breathtaking. It's been a very popular site for people to go to. And when we do host groups at Taliesin to showcase the work that we were able to accomplish as a team, it's one of our favorite places to take people. So we're really looking forward to having the group up there Saturday.
That'll be awesome. When people take the tour of Taliesin, is this a part of that? Or is there something that's different?
It's actually something and different. You know, the tour program that's administered by Taliesin Preservation, Inc. focuses primarily on the buildings. And when we look at Taliesin from a management standpoint, we see three landscapes. We see the cultural landscape, which includes the buildings and the beautiful gardens that adorn those buildings. And then we see the agricultural landscape, which is the farming ground, which is a considerable amount of about 300 acres. And then we see the natural landscapes. And that's the part that I've had the privilege of working on for the last 13 years. So most of the tours at this point in time are focusing primarily on the buildings. And then that has been a focus of mine. Is when I explain the work we do, I explain it as I'm trying to get people to turn around and look at the beautiful landscape and see that beautiful landscape that influenced right in every sort of way.
Sure, for his buildings, that was a part of it, wasn't it? To kind of just be a part of the landscape and not being like the focus, right?
Yes, absolutely. And Taliesin means shining brow. So Frank Lloyd Wright built Taliesin on the brow of the hill. He believed that you shouldn't build on top of the hill, but you should build of the hill. So he built on the brow of the hill. And in fact, there's writings where Wright describe Wright looking into the blufflands of the Driftless and seeing the rock outcroppings and picturing buildings in those rock outcroppings. So that really influenced the style of his building in this Driftless area.
Interesting stuff. On the phone, we have Barb Barzin, who is the Driftless Area Land Conservancy member. Barb, are you there?
I am. Thank you. I'm happy to join the conversation.
Great. Are you looking forward to this 35th anniversary year?
I am. Yeah. And tomorrow looks like a glorious day in a glorious place. So I'm really looking forward to it.
Indeed. Are you going to be a part of the hike and a part of that tour tomorrow?
Right, yeah. So I'll be helping to lead it because I work for the Driftless Area Land Conservancy and I help coordinate the Driftless Trail Project.
Mm-hmm. And you're looking forward to having some folks out there, the first of many during the 35th anniversary celebration, isn't it?
Yeah, right. It sounds like we have about 20 people signed up, so it's a good group. Yeah.
How can people sign up if they'd like to be a part of it?
Kick that over to Mark.
Okay. Mark, are you there?
Yeah, so you can call the Riverway Board office and speak to Marcia Curtis at 608-739-3188. So we do have a few slots left remaining for pre-registration. But it's going to be a great day. So if you are interested, it's kind of a moderate hike, and we would welcome you. But Barb has done such great work getting the Driftless Trail started, working with private landowners, and she can fill us in on how that all came together.
Can you do that, Barb? Tell us about the Driftless Area Land Conservancy and how that works.
Well, the Driftless Area Land Conservancy is a land trust for about a 7-county area in southwestern Wisconsin. And about 6 years ago, our executive director, who commuted between Madison and Dodgeville, came up with the idea of doing a long-distance trail hike through the whole, like, northeastern quarter of Iowa County in order to connect Tower Hill, Governor Dodge, and Blue Mound State Parks. 97% of the whole Driftless area is privately owned, and that holds true for the Iowa County area as well. And so a lot of us have the chance to drive through this beautiful area but not get into it unless we go to a state park. We worked with the National Park Service and did public meetings and so on to ask it, what do you think of this idea of creating this 50-mile loop through this area? And most of the feedback was very positive. And enough landowners actually believed in this concept that they are willing to host this public access trail on their property. A lot of them have been hiking in Europe and really understand the concept there, where it's just built into their culture. So with all the no trespassing signs around here, we knew this would be quite a challenge. But enough landowners have stepped up that we are going for it. So We're really happy to, we have three segments opened now. One is just north of Governor Dodge State Park. It's a mile-long segment. And another one is about 2.7 miles over on Knobs Road, which is about 9 miles southeast of Spring Green. And now we're really concentrating on the Frank Lloyd Wright Taliesin Estate. We're having a great partnership with the Frank Lloyd Wright Foundation and Taliesin Preservation. And we opened up the Phoebe Point Trail. It's a 1.1-mile trail. I guess in November or December we opened that up, and we're celebrating the opening of that in a couple weeks here. And then now, starting this year, we'll be really concentrating on the Welsh Hills Trail. There's an existing trail that kind of bisects all three Welsh Hills, so you get just an amazing view looking uphill at the beautifully restored goat prairies there. And then you can walk down to Unity Chapel and catch the paved Department of Transportation trail back to the upper parking lot at the Visitor Center. So if you park at the Visitor Center, you get a really nice 2-mile loop there. So what we're going to do now, starting on May 3rd, is to construct a trail up to the top of the ridge. There's already a field road up that runs about a mile along the top of the Welsh Hills Ridge, and just gives you an amazing view, especially with Leaf Off, up and down the river and all across the Lowry Creek watershed, all over to Wyoming Valley. It's just stunning. So we're hoping that within a year or so we can create or construct trail going up the north aspect and south aspect of that ridge in order to create this whole loop. So that's what's on the docket for the next year or so.
Sounds like a lot of work ahead of you.
It is, but the beauty of this, so that's one point I want to make, is why is a land trust doing this? Not only does it create a community around a trail and land conservation, but it long term it will create this very long corridor of connected high value conservation land. And it will connect people to all the agriculture and just all the different pine relics, all the really unique features that define the Drillfist area. It'll give people an up-close and personal look at it, and therefore hopefully make people fall in love with it even more and care for it more and want to protect it more.
We appreciate you calling in this morning, Barb.
Okay,
thank you. Anybody else like to add? Mark, did you want to say anything to Barb?
No, thank you so much, Barb, for joining us and all your hard work and that of DALC for what you do to help protect our natural resources and conserve these special places.
Sounds good.
Thank you.
Did you want to say something?
I wanted to encourage people or let people know our Lower Wisconsin State Riverway board meetings are open to the public. We love to have you come in. We also have a couple other field trips coming up. One will be at Black Hawk Ridge with Dave Jetson. Also, there are many ways to get involved as volunteers on the land, whether it's helping to make trails or clear invasives. And there's so many organizations that are partnering, Friends of the Lower Wisconsin Riverway, DELC, Taliesin, many organizations. So you can go on the Lower Wisconsin Riverway website, and there are links to various volunteer opportunities and activities.
Awesome. We'll be back with the final word on the morning show coming up next.
Hi, this is Teresa Clary with Clary Memorial Funeral Home. With today's rising inflation, now is the perfect time to pre-plan and pre-fund your funeral with coverage from Pekin Insurance through Clary Memorial Funeral Home. Your pre-funded policy, called Pathway, is guaranteed and can be used anywhere in the United States. Call today and protect against future inflation with a Pathway policy from Pekin Insurance. Contact Josh Clary at Clary Memorial Funeral Home for more information.
You'll love an A&W root beer float. Made fresh root beer with real cane sugar meets a perfect swirl of creamy vanilla soft serve in our signature frosty mug. Try one today and watch all your worries float away. Only at A&W.
always made fresh root beer. Always at A&W. Your A&W is located on Highway 61 in Boscobel. Stop by soon and enjoy.
At participating restaurants, prices may vary. Tax extra.
Whether it's on the farm, at the job site, or just the front lawn, Napa has the parts to get the job done. Hydraulic hoses, PTO drive shafts, even bucket teeth are just some of the parts that can be found at Napa. For smaller equipment like lawnmowers, snowblowers, or snowmobiles, we carry essential maintenance items such as belts, filters, and fluids. Stop in today at Napa Auto and Truck Parts, Highway 14 East Richland Center and Highway 61 Boscobel.
Welcome back to our final portion of the morning show. We're talking about the Lower Wisconsin State Riverway and some big events going on for its 35th. I know you have a lot of partnerships in the area and across the state, don't you, Mark?
Very much so. We talked about the private landowners, and that is one of our most critical partnerships. There are approximately 100,000 acres in the riverway boundary that goes from the last dam on the river at Prairie du Sac to the confluence with the Mississippi River near Prairie du Chien at Wyalusing State Park. And we talk about the Driftless Trail, and one of the long-held visions I've had is to have a trail that goes from Wyalusing to Devil's Lake. And we're seeing bits of that come together, the Great Sauk Trail at Prairie du Sac at the former Badger Army Ammunition grounds, and now we're working on the snowmobile pedestrian bike bridge at Sauk City, and that's closer and closer to fruition. I had a meeting on that this week, and that'll be a significant piece of trail that will connect, hopefully, all the way from Mazamani to that Devil's Lake area and then beyond. At Boscobel, they're working on the Wisconsin River Trail area that eventually would connect Woodman, Wazika to Boscobel. And then we have, of the 100,000 acres in the riverway, approximately half is currently in state ownership. And there are opportunities to establish actual, certified trails on some of those public lands where there are old field roads and other access roads that can be converted. So, you know, you have to have the vision first, right? Mm-hmm. And we have those partnerships. One of those was with the Wisconsin Wetlands Association, who worked diligently with DNR and some retired DNR folks to get a Ramsar designation, which is internationally recognized wetlands. It means they are wetlands of international importance, and the riverway is one of those rare designations. And that means that we have unique qualities of these wetlands. And 8 of the 9 criteria were met in the riverway. We also work very closely with the Department of Natural Resources, and a lot of people don't understand that the Riverway Board is a separate agency. We are not part of the DNR. We are a separate autonomous agency. And so we'll be working, though, with the DNR on some field trips for state natural areas for some of the forestry issues, because the DNR has to get permits from the Riverway Board just like every private landowner. That was a key element of the compromise that created the project. And we'll be looking at some of the forestry activities as well as some of the management activities on state natural areas, just like Mike had to get a permit to work on Phoebe Point. So does the DNR to work on some of their prairie restoration, for example. Those are all some of those partnerships that are so important across the board for state agencies as well as non-governmental organizations and private individuals. And we also then work on road projects and bridge projects. So the one right now locally is the Lone Rock Bridge. We were involved in the design of that bridge. It's going to be a beautiful bridge when it's done.
It's coming along, isn't it?
It's really coming along. Mm-hmm. And then Highway 60, Gotham to Muscadet. I've been working on that my whole career with the Riverway. I think it's going to happen sometime soon, but that's a major project that still is out there. So, you know, the activities never stop, and here we are at the 35th anniversary, and there are more things coming down the pike. So we're just happy to recognize and celebrate what has been accomplished and looking to the future. You know, our first written record of what the river looked like was from the Journal of Father Marquette, who said the Wisconsin River is very broad with a sandy bottom that forms numerous shoals that render navigation difficult. On its banks, one sees diversified lands with woods, prairies, and hills. We saw oak, walnut, basswood, hickory, elm, and another kind of tree armed with long thorns, which has no name. And on the 17th of June, we entered the Father of Waters with a joy which I cannot express. And so today, when we put a canoe in the Wisconsin River, that's exactly what we see. From 1673 to 2024, and that's the value of the Riverway Project, that we can still protect